Hello. Welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And today I want to talk to you about an important aspect of God's will for us. And that there's a difference between God's perfect will and His permissive will. However, before we can really understand the difference between God's perfect and His permissive will, we need to understand the biblical concept of free will, the ability to choose. In Scripture, free will refers to the God-given ability of human beings to make real, meaningful choices for which they are morally responsible. Every individual has the ability to make their own choice to either obey wholeheartedly, to obey reluctantly, or to disobey God. We see free will in creation because humanity was created in the image of God with the ability to obey or disobey Him. We see in Genesis 2, 16 and 17, "And the Lord God commanded the man," meaning Adam, "saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Notice there are commands, there are warnings and consequences. All of these things indicate that a real choice is an option. While free will is available, God repeatedly calls people to choose obedience through faith. As a matter of fact, take a look at these two scriptures, and I think we'll see that the choice is ours to make. Moses said to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, He said, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." And then further along, Joshua states in Joshua 14, 15, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." As I've said, choice was available even before sin entered the world through Adam and Eve. Remember, they chose to disobey God and took of the forbidden fruit. Human will became corrupted, but not eliminated. People still choose, but they tend to choose towards sin apart from the availability of God's grace. Jesus points out in John 8:34 that before being born again, we are slaves to sin. And Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." You see, only faith in Jesus can break the bondage of sin. The Apostle Paul teaches in Romans 7, beginning in verse 18, "For I know that in me, there that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I wind up not doing. But the evil I choose not to do, that's the very thing I practice." You see, Paul was acknowledging that apart from the grace of God, in other words, without God's grace and His Holy Spirit, he could not stop sinning. Scripture teaches that humans plan and choose, yet God ultimately directs the outcome. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 9. "A man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." You see, the Bible teaches that both truths can exist together. Man's plans and God's will. Those are the two truths. The issue is God's perfect will or His permissive will. Do we choose the Lord's way or the hard way? You see, either way, God's plan will be fulfilled. So what is God's will? Well, I think we can begin with Romans 12, verse 2. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God's will is always good and perfect, always righteous. Yet Scripture reveals that it can be experienced in one of two ways. God's perfect will and God's permissive will. Let's take a look at some examples of God's perfect will. So what God desires and delights in is accomplished through obedience. That's how we demonstrate our love for God. We obey. God's perfect will brings peace, fruitfulness, and fulfillment with His purposes. And I would encourage you to search out the scriptures that I'm going to mention briefly below. Number one, Jesus Christ is the greatest example of complete obedience and surrender to the Father's will. Jesus fully submitted to the Father's will, even when it involved suffering and death. Jesus says in Luke 22, beginning in verse 42, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus understood that he was to be the once and for all sacrifice for sin and death, and that he would have to go to the cross, and that no one else could accomplish that mission. For Jesus, ultimately, it was all joy to yield to and obey the Father. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." Then it goes on to say, "Who," meaning Jesus, "for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." The second example, of course, is Joseph. Scripture, you know, in terms of looking at the scriptures, we're talking about the scriptures between Genesis 39, chapter 39 and 50. So Joseph consistently chose righteousness. He resisted temptation and he put his full faith in God, even through the injustices. God's plan unfolded without moral compromise, resulting in blessing and ultimately reconciliation. In Genesis chapter 50, beginning in verse 20, Joseph says to his brothers who really attempted to murder him, but in the end there's reconciliation. But he says, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." Joseph was responsible for rescuing what would become known as the people of Israel. All the hardships Joseph endured was for God's purpose to deliver his chosen people, and Joseph was ultimately glorified in it. Another example of perfect obedience is the life of Daniel. And again, I encourage you to read the book of Daniel, but in particular, chapter 6. Daniel refused to abandon prayer and obedience, even under the threat of death. God honored his faithfulness with divine protection and a public testimony. Listen to what Daniel said to the king, to King Darius, after his encounter. Remember, he was thrown in the lion's den. Daniel 6:22 says, "My God sent his angels and shut the lion's mouth, so they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Having integrity before the Lord in fulfilling his purpose means that God will intervene in our circumstances. And then our final example of obedience is Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we look in scripture, you know, Luke 1:38, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." When the angel of the Lord revealed God's incredible plan, Mary accepted God's calling without resistance, giving us an example of humble submission to God's perfect will. Now, that was some examples of God's perfect will. Let's take a look now at God's permissive will. And it's what God allows due to human choice or partial obedience and the consequences. God's permissive will allow human choice, but it often results in correction, in delay, or loss. And here are some brief examples, and I'd encourage you, again, to search out the scriptures that I mentioned below. The first, for me, the most classic example, of course, is the book of Exodus. The 40-year journey best describes God's permissive will. The trip or the journey from Egypt to Canaan should have taken only weeks. But God led them in the extended Exodus that took 40 years. This extended journey was necessary because of the Israelites' lack of faith in God. Time and time again, they complained and demonstrated their lack of faith or the lack of trust in God. Even when God supplied them with manna to eat, water to drink, and preserve them from their enemies. You can read in the book of Exodus, God's purpose was fulfilled in the end, but at a great price for those who walk by sight instead of by faith. Such is God's permissive will. There's always a price to pay. Another example, of course, is in the life of Samson, one of the judges. And his life is spelled out in Judges chapters 13 through 16. Samson repeatedly ignored God's moral boundaries. Though God used him to deliver Israel, Samson's compromises led to loss of freedom, loss of strength, and eventually his life. You see, there are consequences to partial obedience. Then there's the life of Jonah. And again, we see the scriptures in chapters 1 through 4. Jonah fled from God's command to preach to Nineveh. It was a clear command. God allowed Jonah's resistance, but corrected him through chastisement. And that chastisement was having him be swallowed by a whale. You see, God's purpose was fulfilled, but Jonah had to endure unnecessary hardship. Another example of partial obedience was Israel's demand for a king. Remember, the people of Israel wanted to be like their neighboring countries and have a king instead, thereby they were rejecting their king who was God. And we see in 1 Samuel chapter 8, beginning in verse 7, "And the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice, listen to the voice of the people in all that they say. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." And then once they had a king, we see what happened with King Saul. In 1 Samuel 13 and 5th chapter, chapters 13 and 15, we see that Saul partially obeys God, and ultimately, he feared the people more than he feared God. Don't we experience that at times? Fearing people, what they might think, what they may say, what they may do, instead of demonstrating our love for God. Though he was allowed to reign, his disobedience resulted in the loss of his kingdom. God's purpose is always fulfilled, but those who partially obey often have to suffer the consequences. That's where we get the expression, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." That's Samuel 15, verse 22. See, God allows his permissive will so that we can make a choice. The Lord's blessings come with obedience and trust. So I'd encourage you to choose to live in God's perfect will today. Ephesians 5:17 says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Believers are encouraged to seek God's perfect will through the Holy Spirit as we read the Bible, as we obey, as we pray, and as we renew our minds. The Scriptures consistently call for believers to seek and walk in His perfect will. Remember Romans 12:22, which we read earlier. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Before closing, I want to take a moment to clarify what our motivation should be, or why we should obey the Lord. You see, it's not simply about fear of disobedience, or avoiding pain, or even receiving blessings. Our obedience is an expression of our love for Jesus. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love him because he first loved us." You see, the motivation for our choices in the Lord should always be love. Obviously, even with natural love, natural affection, it requires the freedom to choose. In the same way, biblical love is not forced. God desires willing obedience rooted in love. As believers, Jesus makes it clear that we have to be motivated by love in all that we do in his name. Matthew 22, beginning in verse 37, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." The kind of love Jesus is talking about is what we call in the Greek agape love. And which it's a love that is based on a decision to love. It's not necessarily an emotionally driven love. In other words, God doesn't love us because we're lovable, but because he's decided to love us. This kind of love requires a decision to love, regardless of the circumstances. That's the definition of grace. And this is the essence of agape love. It is undeserved and unearned. It is this agape love, developed through our relationship with Jesus, that enables the Holy Spirit to help us love the Lord and love others. In John 13:34, Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment, and that was to love one another as he has loved them, establishing a pattern of sacrificial divine love. As people, we struggle to keep the commandment to love. But through faith in Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, believers are enabled to live lives of love for God and for others. In closing, let me remind you of the prophet Jeremiah. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit, he spoke a word of encouragement to a nation that was confused and aimless. And that's a scripture you're probably familiar with. It's Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." This statement remains true for us today, but we have to make the right choices. Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 5, let me close with that. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this word. I just ask that it would be a blessing to those that would be listening or watching. And Father, that you would cause a fresh anointing of the work of your Holy Spirit in the lives of all those that are participating. And Lord, that you would help them to make sometimes those very difficult choices to put their faith totally and completely in you. And so Lord, just bless, release your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. See you soon. Unless otherwise noted, all scripture quotations are from the New King James Version of the Bible. Copyright 1982 by Thomas Nelson. Used by permission, all rights reserved.